I'm Carol Hills, and you're with The World. When we heard that Prince had died suddenly yesterday, I had an intense yearning to hear his music. But if you go online looking for Prince songs, you might be out of luck. Like this song, Slave, from his Emancipation album that he released in 1996. Prince wasn't a huge fan of online streaming services or the music industry in general. That's putting it lightly. He made that clear in this song, which refers to his split from Warner Brothers. He called himself a slave to the label and dropped his name. Nancy Baim has been researching artists' relationship with their audience and the digital world. Nancy, what are some of the major moments in Prince's career where we see the tension between him and the label companies?
Well, I think you've just identified the main one when he writes Slave on his face and he changes his name to an inscrutable symbol as an effort to get out of his recording contract. He's not the only artist to feel that the terms and conditions of the recording contract were unfairly prohibitive.
What is it about these companies that angered him? What aspects of the relationship is the one he's really chafing against?
In general, recording contracts last considerably longer than employment contracts are able to legally, and this follows from a court case that Olivia Newton-John did in the 1970s where she tried to get out of her recording contract. Because you can do a recording contract for a number of albums, you can actually end up having to work for more years for a label than you would have to if you were employed as a straight employee, because if you sign, say, 7 albums and it takes you 20 years to do 7 albums, then you're stuck in a 20-year contract. So it's sort of like what Kesha's going through right now, where you want to have artistic control and you want to be able to make your own decisions about your music, and you're beholden to a company that has basically an indefinite contract on your productivity. If you're not recording for them, then you're not allowed to record for anybody else, and if you're recording, it has to be for them. So Prince was such a perfectionist about his work and every aspect of it that must have been incredibly cloying for him and constraining.
But in the confines of that contract, can't he produce whatever he wants?
It would depend on the contract. In a lot of cases, contracts will specify how much creative control you have.
You mentioned he famously wrote the word slave on the side of his face. What was his point?
Well, I think his point was that he was in a form of indentured servitude to the record label where he wasn't able to just walk away and do his work. I mean, if you think about it, you and I are in positions where if we decide we don't like our jobs, we can resign and we can go find a new job. But if you have a record contract, you can't actually do that because you're committed into your future. And it's not as though you can say, I said I'd do 7 albums. I think I'm actually going to do 4. And now I'd like to go get a new contract. If you've signed for 7 albums, you're in under those terms for 7 albums.
How do you think his resistance to online streaming and pulling his music off of YouTube and all of that, how did that impact his reach with his audience?
Well, that's kind of the beauty and magical thing about Prince, is that common wisdom would have you believe that if you do that, you're doomed. But it didn't seem to affect his popularity at all, which is a credit to the strength of his music and the power of his connections with his audiences, that he didn't need that to be able to foster that relationship with his audiences. And you could probably make a case that it helped make him even more mysterious and enigmatic in ways that had appeal.
How successful was he in these various battles with online streaming or with music labels?
Well, you know, it's a lot like whack-a-mole. With the labels, he ended up being able to pursue his career the way he wanted. With the streaming services, he's been able to control where his music streams and where it doesn't. With things like YouTube videos and audience activities, it's much more of a whack-a-mole problem. And he was very successful. And even in the last 24 hours, I've heard a lot of reports about people trying to post things and having them taken down, and sort of the disappearance of a lot of Prince's music from the internet in the last 24 hours as fans have been trying to upload things and share and grieve together. So in a sense, he's been very successful at having things taken down. That said, very often I will see people post to Facebook or to Twitter and they'll say, quick, watch this amazing performance of Prince doing whatever before it's taken down. And then it'll get taken down shortly thereafter, but in that brief meantime. So fans keep putting things up to share with one another, and then his people would continuously be having them taken down. So, and I can imagine that will go on into the future as well with his work.
What was his objection to the online services? Was it that his stuff was going to be morphed into something it wasn't, or simply control and revenue?
My understanding is that it was about control. one of my favorite moments of Prince exerting control that just shocked me, but also made me marvel at how much his fans love him. He was issuing takedown notices for photographs that fans had posted of tattoos of his face that they had had on their body. So people were posting photos of their own tattoos, their own body with his image, and he would send takedown notices. And they loved him anyway, right? They didn't go have them eliminated, which, like I said, just speaks to how much people truly, truly love him.
Nancy Baim is a researcher at Microsoft Research. Thanks for stopping by our studio today, Nancy.
My pleasure.